take my mind now and think through me. Take my heart and love through me. Take my lips and speak through me your words to teach and touch our hearts that we may glorify you in our lives. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please sit down. There was a woman mailing a carefully wrapped old family Bible to her brother in another part of the country. And the postperson behind the counter said, "Is there anything breakable in there?" She said, "Only the Ten Commandments." Now, Church of England members could well assume that the Ten Commandments are no longer legal tender, because they're almost always replaced, as we replaced them this morning, with Jesus' summary of the law: to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, there's nothing wrong with this. After all, Paul wrote, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, because love is the fulfilling of the law." That's okay, as long as you understand what's meant by the word love. Because Paul wasn't using the word for instance, married love, or for the love of humankind, or for brotherly love, but for self-sacrificing love, agape, that hard work of always putting other people's needs before your own. And note this, that if to love God and to love your neighbor is a summary of the law, then of course the Ten Commandments are an expansion of it. The Ten Commandments were given by God to the people of Israel about 1400, 1450, something like that, BC, on their way from slavery in Egypt to the land that God had promised them. And quite incidentally, next Friday celebrates Simchat Torah, which is when they celebrate the giving of the law in Israel. And they encompass family, property, individual rights, and God's rights. And they form the foundation of our legal system, and indeed the core of Western civilization. In England, in English, they amount to barely 300 words. But human beings are clever people. We're able creatures, and we've made over 32 million laws. No one's ever improved on the Ten Commandments. Now, in the 1980s, I used to hear people say, "What I say is, if everyone obeyed the Ten Commandments, the world wouldn't be in the state it's in." Today, we have a different attitude, not least because very many people have no idea what the Ten Commandments are. They're obsolete. Why should modern men and women be shackled by the primitive code of a nomadic tribe that lived in animal skin tents in the desert? Also, in an age of democracy and of personal autonomy, the idea that God has rules for the way we live is uncomfortable and indeed unacceptable for some people. So it's unsurprising, therefore, that some people suggest that modern humanity needs a modern ethic. 10 suggestions, which could include something like a politically correct list, including tolerance and punctuality, doing your best, fair play, care for the environment, and you can go on. So why not get rid of the Ten Commandments? I can give you 2 good, unchanging reasons why not. The first is that God does not change. And the second is that human nature does not change either. If for animal skin tents you read houses and flats, If for nomads you read executives commuting to work, if for the desert you read any modern city, if for clicking the abacus you read the computer, and if for the ox cart you read jetliner, yet we all have exactly the same vices as our ancestors. And because of this, the Ten Commandments are as relevant today as they have ever been, and that needs to be shouted from the rooftops in our day. As Jesus taught, they're not only 10 rules that demand our outward obedience, but they affect our every most inward thought. It's our heart attitude to God and to neighbour that really matters. And not only are they written as 10 distinct rules, but they overlap each other to a surprising degree. So humanity today is as in need of Jesus Christ and of the Ten Commandments as it has ever been. Which brings me briefly, very briefly, to the parable of the vineyard. Jesus told it specifically against the Jewish leadership of the day, the chief priests and the scribes. They rejected Jesus, and in rejecting Jesus, they rejected God and God's purposes for his people. And so they were misleading the people, for which the whole nation would suffer. And certainly in AD 67, the Romans had invaded, they besieged Jerusalem. In AD 70, Jerusalem was breached and sacked, and the temple destroyed. Then come through to the middle of the second century AD, and you have the Bar Mikvah rebellion, and the Jewish people were not only defeated, but scattered, sent out of the land, sent across the world. Now, as with all scripture, this is recorded for our learning and for our warning. Our nation is intent on secularizing. It's intent on weakening and removing our Christian heritage, and it bends over backwards to ensure that other religions are not offended. And indeed, they definitely put Christianity second, increasingly so. And frequently, in the name of freedom, brick by brick, the basis for moral culture, the moral structure of society, which includes the Ten Commandments, is being removed, which leaves a moral vacuum. And vacuums get filled with other things. So it's ironic, therefore, that the price we pay for this is our liberty. I remember in my first curacy in the late 1970s, taking communion regularly to three elderly sisters in Worley in Essex, who were brought up in Dagenham when it was still a village. And they would never have dreamt of locking their doors at any time. Today, increasingly, cars and houses are fitted with alarms and high-tech locks. Many people are afraid to venture out at night. Parents daren't lose sight of their children. Carers and people have to be DBS, I think I got that right, DBS checked, used to be CRB, is that right? Thank you, Keith. So what's to be done? Well, the church is supposed to be the conscience of the nation. Frequently, it has failed to speak out when it should have done. And when the archbishops do speak out, either they're criticized or they're derided by the media and the politicians, or simply ignored. So we need to do something for our nation, something which can't be affected in any way by the media and the politicians. We can pray. In a spiritual battle, prayer is the most powerful weapon. And it is a weapon, We are in a spiritual war. There's always been a spiritual war since the fall of man. Pray for God's mercy on our nation. Pray for our Queen and every member of the royal family, and every peer and MP at Westminster and around their families. Pray for our nation to turn back to God. Pray for a miracle that somehow people will turn and look for the things of God. Pray for that. Because that's what repentance means. So I close with some words from Daniel. He prayed earnestly and repented on behalf of his nation while they were in exile. And he was told, at the beginning of your supplications, a word went forth. So be encouraged. Pray for our nation. Amen.